Well, like Sarah said, it's very meaningful for us to be here this morning. Pastor Curtis, thank you. And I'll go into a little bit later about what, you know, what Teen Challenge does, what it means to me. But I'd be a little remiss if I didn't, when I was asked to give the message and what I was given on, I'd be a little remiss if I didn't disclose my inspiration. That was for our mutual friend, Corrine. Corrine was a, you know, she went to church here and connected to Curtis. And I didn't know, felt honored to be asked to do this, but how can I keep her memory alive? Corrine graduated the Elm Rock Women's and Children's Center, and I got to see her grow with Haley and dear friend. Anyway, one of the verses she stood on was Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, and we just ask that you just, your words be spoken, Lord. Lord, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be the vessel of your words this morning, but your words be spoken this morning, not mine. Lord, I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was trying to think how can I take one little verse and turn it into a little message to give to you guys that would also incorporate kind of how Teen Challenge can reach others and speak to people. And I kind of decided the title could be, of this message would be, Don't Give Up, Look Up, and Live Up. So forgive me if I'm reading a little bit too much. I'm more of a typer. I'm not much of a speaker. But you know, and I've said this every service for the Teen Challenge people, forgive me. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I definitely feel like I'm equipped this morning. So when things get difficult and it seems like there's no fruit for all the labor in doing the Lord's work, and for the Teen Challenge students, when it seems like there's no fruit for your labor in working through this season of your life, do not give up. We need to look up to God and live up to his calling. This is actually a verse that Teen Challenge students are asked to memorize as part of their curriculum that we do in Teen Challenge. It resonated to me when I was a student. I graduated the program in 2011. Do not grow weary by doing good, because in the program you feel like you're making recovery, you're clean and sober every day. Each day is a small victory in battle, and but you do get tired. But do not lose the heart of what you're there for. The truth of the work that we have as students, staff, and leadership in Teen Challenge, or anyone in ministry, it's challenging work. Pastor Curtis, I'm sure you could attest to that. One in which there's constant change, there's constant turnover, there's constant new variables coming around. It's one where culture, people, it's always changing. We have to evolve with it and also be part of that positive change. I see people come through the doors of Teen Challenge day in, day out. Some seasons it's like a revolving door. Whether that's on the student level or my leadership team or as a staff around me and my team of directors that we have through our region. Some stay and they move on, but the temptation is always there to wonder when the revolving door becomes so quickly, like, what good are we doing? You know, there's so many variables. What good are we doing? Are we really making a difference? You know, but that's why I need, as a leader in Teen Challenges, that's why we all need Galatians 6:9 to resonate in our hearts. Do not grow weary by doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In each day ahead, this precious work that I've been called to do speaks these items I want to point out. To glorify God in our lives, to glorify God in his church, that it may all glorify God in this community, that we will bring others to Christ, whether through our words or through our actions. And so I say this to say to you, do not give up, look up, and live up. As we look at Galatians 6:9 today, we should be as encouraged by Paul's words to the Galatians as I do. This morning, I'd like to simply talk to you about what is the doing good that Paul speaks of? And then we shall see. Why one might grow weary in doing good. And then we'll look at the promise for those who do not lose heart. So I hope this will help us all understand why we shouldn't give up, but we should look to God to live up to his calling for our lives. So what is doing good? Paul addresses in in the text in the Bible to the churches of Galatia, that it's so easy to see the doing good that Paul speaks of that believers do. What is doing good as believers as a church? Isn't part of doing good preaching and teaching the word of God? Which definitely it is. Paul says when we teach the word, it is welcomed. Teach the word when it is welcomed. Teach it when it's not welcomed. The teaching of the word is certainly the joyous task of the church. It is a task of your pastor. I know it gives Pastor Curtis great joy because I see it in his actions and I've seen it in the smile on his face every time I've had the privilege of seeing him. It's a task to our faithful and hardworking leaders in Teen Challenge. My beautiful wife, she's a leader at the Alamo Women's Children's Center, and I'm so glad you're here today. Gotta give a little notice to her. It's a task to those, anyone in this room, whether you're in Teen Challenge or not, that have overcome recovery, overcome addiction, that you work in recovery. You give back to others, whether it's your time, that's why there's sponsors in recovery. You help those who are struggling. Give hope to others when they don't think there's hope, that hope is there. Give that hope to them. That is most certainly doing good. The highest form of doing good is simply, in my opinion, to teach the gospel of Jesus in some way, shape, or form. Whether it be by your words, whether it be by your actions. One of the things this verse has taught me is the many ways we can share the gospel of Christ. Some people are blessed with the opportunity to speak it. Some people are blessed with the way to live it. Either way, it shows others what the gospel of Christ really means. One of my staff members has the best saying when we start talking about living it out. Just don't talk about it, be about it. But there also must be evidence of our love for people in a way that we live among them. Loving people where they are, as they are. We certainly don't want them to stray the way. But let God work in the lives of those we minister to. That's a very challenging work. God will do the changing. It's not that we can't change people. We got to let God change the heart. But we can speak through the actions of God Himself. We are to teach and love others as Jesus called us to do. That's doing good. Another part of doing good is the help that we may be able to give someone in need. Like Ricardo touched on his testimony, give someone a meal, clothe the naked, give them a place to stay when they don't have one. Give them a vehicle if they need it. Give them a ride. Serve. Help others. That is doing good. I contend that there is a need for God's people and God's church to be involved in all forms of doing good. The highest calling of God's people and His church is to do the good work of sowing. They sow the seeds of the gospel, and that way they live, preach, and teach the living word of God. So why might one grow weary of doing good? Think about why one might grow weary of doing good. In the Bible, Paul leads Timothy to preach the word. He must be ready at all times. In the same passage, he makes clear that the task is not easy. Timothy is told to convince, rebuke, exhort, with through all his long suffering, which is patience in the midst of difficulty. Teaching and preaching the word is certainly doing good. It is a joyous task in the church. Joyous task of every believer to be ready to teach the word. It is to be done in the way we live, and it is to be done in the form of a verbal witness. It's much easier said than it is done. There'll be times of difficulty, and when we're doing good, there will always be opposition. There will always be opposition to the preaching and the teaching of the word. Whether it's people who don't believe, even people we love, even fellow believers. This is very hard to come across. But we're always faced with opposition, and that wears us out. And as leaders in Teen Challenge, when we have to rebuke or we have to correct, it does grow tiring. It's hard on my heart, hard on my soul, because I don't want to be the finger pointer of everyone's faults. But I want people to learn and grow from it. But I have to have faith that growing, that sowing that seed, the seed is being sowed, and I have to wait for the harvest to come through on that. We're all prone, when we're doing good, to fall into the trap of just going through the motions. And that simply can be the opening door that the enemy needs to come in. It's no longer a work of love, and we no longer have a vision for what lies ahead when you go through the motions in everyday ministry. I go through it myself. I know you all can relate to that, just going through the motions of everyday life. Sometimes we need a break. We need someone to kind of hold us accountable and hold us to the foot of the fire in that. So we may be tempted to even do the good works in our own strength. Again, that's not what we need to do. We need to do the good works with God's strength lifting us up. We start doing it on our own. We start doing it our way and start doing it with our mind and with our heart. Without the heart of the Lord, that is a key for the enemy to come in and find. And that is the reason I can probably attest to every single one of these men and every single one of these women who are currently in Teen Challenge. I was there, and I'm still there in all of us. But why I needed to come find recovery in Teen Challenge, that I was doing things my way. And I learned there is a better way. My way isn't the right way. It's what God called me to do. We just grow impatient because the fruit of our labors isn't immediate, and that's what we seek, is immediate satisfaction. We want to come in. That's why I'm a big proponent. The 30-day rehabs are less effective because it's like an immediate fix. Teen Challenge is 12 to 18 months long, if not longer. And my goodness, I graduated the program in 2011. I'm still a part of it today. Maybe it's a work in progress, but I'm so proud to be here. I'm so proud of what God's done in my life because He's still giving me the tools to work through the struggles I have today. And the reminder and the focus to know, not my way, Lord, your way. So there will be reaping if we, the last part of the verse, there will be reaping if we do not lose heart. Which translates to if we do not give up. Think of the picture we get when reaping of a harvest. To reap a harvest, there must be sowing. But that's not all. You got to use the analogy of a farmer. We think of sowing as planting seeds. A farmer first prepares his soil, and then he plants a seed. The farmer then waters and fertilizes the seed, and the farmer's got to wait for the seed to grow. If he waits patiently for the growth, a good farmer will wait patiently for those seeds to grow, because there is a promise of a bountiful harvest that is coming. So I think of this analogy. This brought me back to my early years. I grew up in Southern California. And even here in Livermore, we see it. We see all the vegetation with the grapes. And in Southern California, it was strawberry fields, and it was orchards for oranges, and a lot of agriculture is the best way to put it. Vegetation that we come through today. And my dad would drive me through the back roads. I grew up, you know, in Ventura County, right near between LA and Santa Barbara. So I had, sometimes it was farms as far as I could see, all the way out to the ocean. And it would just look like a piece of art, honestly. The way the fields were so correctly straight, you know, diagonal. I mean, it's like, man, and how could they do that for such a long period of time? It's the farmer. The farmer is very diligent in being patient in the sow for his harvest. So you gotta look at it this way. Before the plants are harvested, there's nothing but fertile farmland around. So the farmers bring in these big heavy machines, these big tractors to go in there, and they work the soil, and they work the soil, and they work the soil to the point where it looks like nothing but black and brown velvet as they wait now, as they go out there, and the farmer's gonna spend a whole bunch of money to go out there and plant every seed. And all they do is they bury the seed into the ground and they wait. After they bury the seed, they go out and spend more money on fertilizer. Why? Because they have to maintain what they've sowed. That's maintenance. And if you want an analogy, what it is, it's maintaining the seeds that have been sowed into your heart, the seeds that you're sowing into other people's hearts. You got to maintain that connection, maintain that relationship. That's simply what fertilizer is. Fertilizer is the farmers. It's maintaining the crop that you've planted. They fertilize the fields where the seeds are buried. Many of the farms you'll see have large mechanical machines that go around planting these, you know, watering, maintaining the farms. But one thing the farmers do not go do is they do not go back and they do not dig through the holes and pick up the seeds and see what they're doing. right? Because if they did, they'd ruin their crop. And that'd be like us being impatient to go in there. Oh man, I know I planted all this, like, I gotta go in there. And we all know the verse of the mustard seed, right? You don't want to kill a seed or stunt its growth. That's with a farmer. Even through hard times, a farmer has faith. What he has sowed, sown in seed, will be harvested 1,000 times a bountiful crop for his farm. It will be able to provide for his family and provide for the world. The farmer pushes forward the proper maintenance to maintain the standard in the process that's going to ensure a bountiful crop will come to harvest. His good deeds and his faithfulness will be rewarded. So I speak to all you guys in Teen Challenge, your good deed and your faithfulness for going through the season of your life will be rewarded. I know my wife, Sarah, the choir director here, can all attest to that. We've been around the program long enough, but we've seen that God's called us to be in this ministry as leaders. So that's the promise that we find in Galatians 6:9, a promise for those who do not lose heart. It's the promise for those who do not give up. You know, when things are challenging or trying, the temptation is always there just to give up and just let it go. Like, you know what, this isn't working. Over patience sets in or just something went wrong and I'm just, nope, not it for me. But look up and live up to God's calling for your life. The good work we do for the Lord may be tiresome. It may be difficult. But just don't give up. Look up to God for his calling. So for all of you out there who are struggling, for all of you out there who are just going through a hard time, I want to encourage you that the harvest is ahead. For those of you in the program, you can relate to this. The harvest is ahead for your good work. Just don't give up. Sow the seed. Press on. Remember, we do not serve men. We serve the King. Amen? As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, and God has sent you out to plant the seed. There will be a harvest in his time, and God will give the increase. I'm going to repeat Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary by doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for just everything that you've done in my life, Lord, and for the words you spoke. And Lord, I pray that I gave it justice, Lord. It was simply you speaking to my heart, Lord. Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity to be here at Discovery Church and for Teen Challenge just to be a vessel of your work. Because Lord, here's the truth of the matter is Teen Challenge does not get any credit for the changed lives we saw here today. It is all credit to you. And we give all joy and glory to you in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate it.